In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I'm reading today something that Pope Benedict XVI has said, and he said it on April 9th, 2007. The Christian faith, as we know, is not born from the acceptance of a doctrine, but from an encounter with a person, that is, with Jesus Christ, who died and has been raised to life. I'll repeat that again. Pope Benedict says the Christian faith, as we know it, is not born from the acceptance of a doctrine, but from the encounter with a person, Jesus Christ, who died and who has been raised from the dead. There is no Christian faith unless there is an encounter with Jesus Christ, unless someone comes to meet Jesus in the forgiveness of their sins, meets Jesus as he comes in his presence. There is no Christianity apart from an encounter with Jesus Christ. And we see that on the day of Pentecost, when Peter speaks to 3,000 Jewish people who are there for the celebration of the law. And he says, "This Jesus whom you persecuted, whom you crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Messiah." And then they said, "What must we do to be saved? Turn away from your sins, repent and be baptized, and believe in the Lord Jesus." And they too started to speak in tongues and bear witness to Jesus. I tell you, Pope Benedict is so wise when he says the Christian faith is not about a doctrine, but about an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ, who died and who has been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. I tell you, the early church knew this, and this is how she spread the encounter of Jesus. She spread it through the word of God, through the preaching of the gospel. St. Paul said to the Corinthian community, "I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified when I came to you." Paul preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified to the Corinthian community. We hear Peter preaching Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead, to Cornelius, and Cornelius' house receives Christ, and they start speaking in tongues and prophesying. The word of God is utterly important if we are to spread the faith and encounter with Jesus. The word of God is utterly important. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our bishop has said that the most complaints he gets is that Catholic priests, most of them, many of them, too many of them, do not preach well. Do not preach the gospel. Do not preach well. You do not have to preach well. The only thing you have to do is preach Jesus. To preach Jesus and his love. To preach Jesus and his death. To preach Jesus and his resurrection. To preach Jesus under the power of the Holy Spirit. The early church knew that the preaching of the word was basic. In Paul's letter, Paul the sixth letter of evangelization in the modern world, he says that each generation of Catholics must be evangelized and must come to the Lord, must have an encounter with the risen Lord, the Lord who died and the Lord who rose from the dead. He said that the preaching of the word is basic to the priest, even more basic than celebrating the Eucharist. The preaching of the word of God is basic to the proclamation of the priest, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so We cannot get along without the Word of God. Yesterday I spoke about what happened with the Great Reformation. The Protestants adopted the Word of God, and the Catholics adopted the sacraments. And you know what? We were untrue to our founding. Our founding was through Jesus Christ, and it was Word and sacrament. It was not only sacrament. It was Word and sacrament. And you know, we even became very, very particular when it came to the sacrament that people couldn't receive every week. So that's where adoration began, that if you can't receive him, we can look at him, which is something beautiful, but it's nothing like receiving Jesus and taking him into our hearts. So it is so important that the Word of God is preached if we want an encounter with the risen Lord. It is so important that the Word of God be preached if we want an encounter with the risen God. And that is, we must preach Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead. But as we look at the early church, it was not only the Word of God, it was the power of the Holy Spirit. They received Pentecost. Pentecost was normative in the early church. Remember what Paul said to a group of people. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? They said, we did not even know there was a Holy Spirit. Well, my friends, I'm going to tell you that is true today, that most people have no idea of the Holy Spirit. And if you have no idea of the Holy Spirit, you have no idea of Jesus Christ and an encounter with the Christ who died and rose. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? They said, we did not even know that there was a Holy Spirit. Most Catholics know the only Holy Spirit, they say, is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is normative. The Holy Spirit is so important in the Christian life. Pentecost has to be a reality. It was a reality in the early church. And Peter said that this gift of Pentecost is to you, the Jews I'm speaking to your children, and to those far off. That's us. That gift of Pentecost, that gift of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we do not have any encounter with the risen Lord. Without the Holy Spirit, we have nothing to do with the healing of the sick. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot even pray, for the Spirit helps us in our prayer, for we do not know how to pray. The Holy Spirit is basic in the Christian life. And you know what? The Scripture says, and when the Spirit comes, he will glorify me, Jesus. He will glorify me, so that you can have an encounter with the risen Lord, an encounter with the Lord who died, and with an encounter with the Lord who rose from the dead. Nothing takes place apart from the Holy Spirit. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit at Mass, when the priest says, let your Spirit come upon these gifts, so that they may become for us the body and blood of Christ, the only thing we would have would be bread and wine. It is the Holy Spirit and the words of consecration that give us Jesus as Eucharist. It is the Holy Spirit. Same with the reading of the Word today. We're talking about St. Jerome as he translated the Scriptures into the vernacular of the day, which was Latin. But you see, without the Holy Spirit, you can read the Bible over and over again, and the only thing you have is black words or black letters on a white page. It is the Holy Spirit who brings conversion. It is the Holy Spirit who awakens us to Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who makes the Word a living Word, a living Word, a living Word. Apart from the Spirit, we only have words. That's why the Church has always said, before you open the Bible, you pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. The Holy Spirit enlivens the Word of God, makes the Word of God a living Word. The Holy Spirit makes the bread come, transforms the bread into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. So we need the Word, we need the Holy Spirit. The early church knew that. They needed the Word, they needed the Holy Spirit. What else did they need? They needed the Eucharist, that they would come together and they would break bread. They would break bread together. And the breaking of the bread is called the Eucharist. And we saw yesterday from John 6, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And many of his disciples said, this is a hard saying, and they left him, and Jesus didn't call them back. We need the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Eucharist. All these things are very necessary in our Catholic Christian faith. And then we also need to care for the poor, because faith without works is dead. We are not saved by our works. We are saved by grace through faith, lest any man would boast, created for good works. We remember that Paul would send money to the Jerusalem community who was enduring persecution, who was enduring suffering. So he would send money to the Jerusalem community so that he would help the poor in Jerusalem who were under siege by the Romans. This is important. This is important. You see, we not only need faith, we need good works. Now, I know I'm not saved by my works. I am saved by grace through faith, created for good works. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord has a real compassion for the poor. He has compassion for those underdogs. If you're an underdog today, I want to tell you, the Lord has compassion for you. If you're a person who suffers today, the Lord has compassion for you. He always has compassion for the underdog. He always has compassion for those that everybody rejects. If you are one of those people, I'm telling you, the Lord has compassion for you, and he loves you. He loves you dearly. He loves you dearly. And so the whole thing has to do with Jesus. As Benedict the Pope says, the 16th, he said, the Christian faith is not about a doctrine, but about the encounter with the Christ who died and the Christ who has been raised from the dead. That's why the gospel must be preached. That's why the gospel, and I'm not talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He bled for us, that he died and that he was buried and on the third day rose from the dead. That is the gospel. He ascended into heaven and he sits at the Father's right hand pouring out the Holy Spirit. We need to hear the gospel. Every generation needs to hear the gospel preached under the power of the Holy Spirit. Every generation needs to hear Jesus extolled. Oh, yes. You can only extol Jesus if you love him. You can only extol Jesus if you know him. You can only extol Jesus if he's personal to you. There is no one like Jesus. No one. Remember what Sadie said, my little old lady, the Protestant lady that taught me so much. She would say, no one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. Oh, that little lady, she was a saint. She was a saint. She knew the Lord, and she would say to me, Tom, no one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. She was a woman filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. She was a woman filled with grace. She was a woman who understood the Lord. She would say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is my shepherd. And those who belong to him hear his voice. For my sheep hear my voice, says the Lord." I tell you, she's a beautiful, beautiful old lady who now is probably in the presence of God having the best day of her life, you know? So beautiful. She loved Jesus so much. She loved Jesus so much, and she wasn't afraid to proclaim it. She wasn't afraid to proclaim it. I know that we have full gospel churches, and they say that the full gospel is that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I say the full gospel is word-centered, Eucharistic-centered, Holy Spirit-centered, caring for the poor. The full gospel has to do with all those things. First of all, word and sacrament, under the power of the Holy Spirit. I do believe in the baptism of the Spirit. I believe that things happen when people receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe that that baptism of the Holy Spirit is necessary, not for salvation, but to minister to God's people, because God opens you up to something wonderful, something new. That Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus Christ. That Holy Spirit always glorifies the Lord. Remember what Pope Benedict XVI says. The Christian faith has nothing to do with the doctrine, but everything to do with an encounter with Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead. That comes from the Holy Father, the Pope. That comes from the successor of Peter. That comes from the Bishop of Rome. That comes from our Holy Father, Benedict XVI. This is real. This is absolutely real. You see, I get so upset when people are just trying to prove that this faith is the right faith. Let's bring people to know Jesus. Let's bring people to experience the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. Let's bring people into a relationship with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for people that the baptism of the Spirit might be given to them so that they can minister with power. Let's pray that people would read the Word of God under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Let's see that the full gospel has to do with word, sacrament, power of the Holy Spirit, caring for the poor, and community, because God forms a people. He saves a people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are descendants of our father Abraham, who first believed in the one true God. We are descendants of the prophets. We are descendants of the patriarchs. We are descendants of the apostles. Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead. He is the jewel of the church. Imagine, the jewel of the church. When I think of the crowning with thorns, this is what I think of. Jesus crowned with thorns was more beautiful than any king that was crowned with gold. Jesus crowned with thorns is more beautiful than any king that was crowned with rubies and gold and silver. Jesus crucified is more beautiful than anyone ever existed, even though we would turn our face from him because he looked more like an animal than he did like a person. But he is more beautiful because that cross is our salvation. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. There is no one like Jesus. There is no one like Jesus. And my question to you today is, do you know him? Not do you know about him, but do you know him? Is he your Savior? Have you had an encounter with the risen Christ, the one who died and rose from the dead? Are you strictly just a law person? You see, if we do not live by grace, we've got to live by something else. And when we stop living by grace, we live by the law. And you know what? The law kills. The Spirit gives life. And I'm telling you, you know, you might know all the words in the catechism, be it the Catholic catechism or the Protestant catechism. But the question is, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Do you know him as your own Savior? Do you know him who died on the cross out of love for you? Do you know him who suffered and died and was buried? Do you know him who rose from the dead on the third day? Do you know him? Do you know him? Because that is the most basic of all things, coming to encounter the living person of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is not dead, he is alive. He rose from the dead. No longer will he die. He is at the Father's right hand. If you do not know him, just I want you to admit right now, I want to know you, Lord. I want to experience you, Lord. I want you to come into my heart, Lord. Yes, tell him. Into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it with me. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Yes, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And as you come into our hearts, Lord, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit of promise upon us. Pour out the Holy Spirit of promise upon us, Lord, that we would know the baptism of the Spirit. Even now, Lord, that we would speak in other languages and prophesy as Cornelius' house did. Come, wonderful Jesus. Come, wonderful Jesus, and pour out your Spirit upon your people. We thirst for your people. We thirst for your Spirit. You said, let the man who thirsts come to me and drink, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Lord, I thirst for your Holy Spirit. I thirst for the Spirit of God. I thirst that he would come and make residence in me. I thirst that he would do powerful things. I thirst that he would glorify you, Jesus. I thirst that he would make the Word of God come alive in my life. I thirst that he would make me care for the poor. I thirst that he would bring me to the community, Lord. For we are not saved alone. We are saved in a believing community. God did not call Abraham alone, but he called a people, a people, a people. And that people now is called the church. Oh God, separate us for your love. Separate us for your glory. Separate us, Lord, that we would be all yours, that we would know you, that we would love you, and that we would communicate you to other people. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Again, I have to tell you that I'm on throughout the country. People in St. Louis, I really need to hear from you. I really need to hear from you if you want me to be on there. People in Albuquerque, I really need to hear from you if you want me to continue to be on in Albuquerque. People in Washington, D.C., I need to hear from you. In Virginia, I need to hear from you. Fairfax, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from people in New Jersey, and I need to hear from people in Washington, D.C., and in the upper state of New York. I need to hear from you. I need to hear from people in Springfield, in Hartford, Connecticut, and Agawam. I need to hear from you. Please, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Do not wait for tomorrow to do it. Do it today. You know, I don't tell you what to send me. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want me to send to this ministry? Let me know. Give me your figure, if you have a figure, Lord. And if you say no, Lord, I won't send. But I turn to you and I ask you, Lord, what do you want me to send? If you want me to send anything, help me to write the check for whatever you send. Again, it's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. O Jesus, you are like the lighthouse. Radiate your light to those that are lost and bring them to yourself and to the Father in the power of the Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.